not experiencing it. You got to learn, I call it praise him in the storm. You know, and that's something in the Bible I learned from Paul and Silas, mainly. You know, when they were beat and whipped and they were put in prison and unjustly, and I don't believe they had any idea that their praising was fixing to bring a miracle. I really just don't believe, but I just believe that they had it in their hearts that God was a good God, that God, even in their prison, that God was good. I know they had it in there, praise God. But you know what? Their praising God at the midnight hour brought a miracle. It brought down the power of God. And that's in there for our example, praise the Lord. It's not written in there just so we would see a good story in the Bible. He's God, and he's not changed over all the generations have changed, and modern times have come, they call it, you know. And they're actually writing a new Bible and taking out some things so it don't offend anybody. So if you got a good King James Bible, hang on to it and cherish it and get it in your heart mainly, praise God, because they're already gonna rewrite the Bible, a modern Bible. So that gays feel good about it, and lesbians feel good about it, and wokeism feels good, and we don't offend nobody. And nobody, the Christians are not trying to offend anybody. I never want anybody to be offended, praise God, in my life, hallelujah. But it's one thing that I'm going to do. Jesus come down there and save me that old dreary day when I was 27 years old. By the Spirit of God, he went past all the drugs I had in the freezer. He went past all the lying and hands laying on the Bible so Teresa would believe me stuff. He went past all of that down into my heart. And I got born again that day, praise God. And my life offended a lot of folk then, because I would steal your clone out of your car. I would steal your radio. You know, I mean, I would steal your car too, probably. I never stole none, but I was on my way. Why not? I could drive nice cars, steal them. I did look in the drive and see if anybody leaving their keys, because I was going to try it one time. You know. Do you reckon my life was offending people then? I was disobedient to my parents. I didn't get along. I didn't like police. I did not like authority. Do you reckon I was on people's nerves then? I was, I know. And you know what, praise God, we get born again. But you know what? Our life living for the Lord, not because we're acting religious and all that, because that transformation has come on the inside, and we're going after the God that apprehended us like Paul did. When we get born again and we want to go to church and we start reading our Bible and we go learn how to pray and all of that, that's going after that has been we've been apprehended of. Just like the Apostle Paul, just like the rest of them. And when we do that, we will be set apart. It sets us apart. The Word set me apart on finances. The Word set me apart in my marriage. I've started believing to see the goodness of God in my marriage. We had split. I paid for a divorce. Y'all know the story, but I'm under an anointing right now. Yeah, I paid for a divorce. I borrowed the money and paid for a divorce. I think I was 19 or 20 years old. Praise God. And we got back together the day before we had to go. And so I made payments on a divorce that we never utilized. Well, you know what, praise God? I didn't know how to have victory. I didn't know how. I didn't know that God was a good God back then. Now I got born again and I begin to believe God to fix my marriage, to have a good life and all that. Just same thing I'm preaching today, praise God. I'm preaching the same thing that I've been preaching for 30 years. That Bible don't change and God don't change in his anointing. There's just specific times of the anointing comes on us to preach different times and seasons and words, because the Bible says a word is good in its time. Not just any time. You know, that's why God feeds you fresh manna when you seek him. But you start going after the Lord and your marriage begins to get better. I'm telling you right now, my marriage began to get better. But I started believing to see God's goodness in my marriage. I didn't know about the title that I got right now. I mean, I've not even been saved but a week or three. But I started remembering things that I'd read stoned and in the Bible needing change in my life. So go read the Bible while you're stoned and lost. And then I started remembering those things. They started coming back to my remembrance, some of them. That was the Holy Spirit. He even took my ignorance and turned it into wisdom after I got born again. See, I couldn't see nothing until I got saved. I couldn't see hidden things in that Bible, hid from the world. That's why you can't convince me that people can just say they're saved and read the Bible and get anything if they're not really surrendered their heart to the Lord Jesus. Because that light only comes through the light, through Jesus. He is the light. He is the bread of life. And so, not too long down the road, we see the Bible. Put that Jeremiah up there, Beth, please, before I go any further. Getting a little ahead of myself. Very good Sunday school lesson. Praise God. The Lord spoke to me in 1995, and it was during election time, 95 or 96. And I thought, I'm not going to get into politics. I'm not going to get into none of that. I don't care about none of that. And the Lord spoke to me inside, not an audible ear. He said, if you don't vote, he said, you don't have a right to say nothing. He said, your vote is your right to open your mouth when you don't like what's going on. And I thought, this has got to be the devil. This has got to be the devil. You know? And so I'm going on and I'm like, Lord, is this you? Is this you telling me this? He said, your righteous vote matters. He said, when you're voting for a sheriff, he said, your vote matters. He said, you're putting that sheriff in. He said, and whatever that sheriff is going to give him power to be whatever he is, good or bad. And so I'm like, God, I don't want to be in these politics, man. You know, and then I started thinking, well, bless God, what if every Christian on the planet thinks that? And they don't go vote for the president. The unrighteous rules. The Bible says, when the righteous are in authority, who rejoices? We rejoice, right? The people rejoice. Well, how's the righteous going to get in there? They going to believe God to get up there? And then we're going to pray that open doors for them like Trixie was talking about. Everybody plays a part. God, Jesus prayed it. He said, Father, he said, your kingdom come, your will be done in this earth as it is in heaven. And Jesus went about doing good and healing. Jesus went about correcting the Pharisees. Jesus was a servant, but he was a king. Jesus was a servant, but he stood in great authority. We are servants, but we are kings and priests unto God. We are servants to the Lord and to one another. I've got an anointing, what the Bible calls pastor on me, but that means I'm a servant. That don't mean I'm a ruler. That simply means that I'm a servant. A teacher is a servant. They serve the people. Right? But that servanthood brings you into a place of anointing and stature with the Lord and with man. That humility. Humble's the key to more from God. Well, just like, you know, I mean, I'm talking about believing to see God's goodness. See, I had this mentality in some of the church that taught me and some of, you know, the world and different things. You know, the man of the house is the boss. That's not scriptural. It's my way, baby, or the highway. See, that's not scriptural. And so that's the way, it was. You know, that's the way I thought, you know, like God. But she never submitted to that. The only problem is I couldn't get her to submit to the man of the house. boss. You know, the fight was always on. You know, but see, my mentality was wrong. I'm reading the Bible one day, and I can't remember hearing it preached or anything. Maybe I have, but I'm reading the Bible, and what the Apostle Paul told him, he said, husbands, he said, love your wife as Christ so loved the church and gave himself for it. Like that. And my thought then was, you know, nah. Man, should take advantage of this. Lay your life down. You know, just let what that thinking to me at that time, the Bible, that's why the Bible says for us to lean not to our own understanding. In all of our ways, Proverbs 3, acknowledge him, acknowledge the word. What does the word say? That's why I'm big on the word. You know, what's the word? People ask me my opinion about things and I'll say, what does the word say? What does the Bible say? And it makes some people mad. It gets them up saying, nah, you don't understand. No, what does the Bible say? See, because the Bible is the power of God. The gospel is the power of God to salvation, right? It's the power of God to transform marriages. It's the power of God to transform your finances. It's the power of God to transform your families. It's the power of God to transform your kids. And your grandkid is the power of God. And so I'm like, nah, man, you know, this is not for everybody. God understands I'm married to Teresa. You got to understand God. You know how she is. See, in my doing had nothing to do with Teresa. See, God was speaking to me because I want a good marriage. I want my marriage fixed and all of that. And this is not the way to fix it to me. The fix it to me is somebody go straighten my wife out. Somebody tell her she's stupid. See, that's the way only way I could see, or we fight it out. But see, this is the world's way. They try to figure out how to fix things, but now we're born again. And I want my marriage fixed. And so I run across this scripture, you know, and I'm like, nah, man. I mean, my carnal mind. How many knows the Bible says in Romans 12, 2, be not conformed to the way the world fixes their marriage. Be not conformed to this world. But this world means this age, this way of doing, this way of being. He says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, the Word of God, I needed to meditate on that scripture. I needed that scripture past my head down here where I understand in my spirit. Because the mind, the Bible says, is an enemy to God. See, I mean, I felt like Teresa would take advantage of me. If I loved her like Christ loved the church. Because, I mean, I knew and I preached it to the, you know, I mean, got hold of how much he loved me, that he died for me, that he gave his life for the church, that he went to the cross for the church, that he shed his blood for the church, that he took stripes on his back for the church, that he took on himself a non-peaceless life so that I could have peace. He took on him all kinds of discouragement so I could be encouraged. I could understand that for Jesus. And so I thought, okay, Lord, I just surrender to it. I just surrender to it, Lord, I'm going to love my wife. I didn't know how I'm going to do it. You don't have to know. Just be willing to embrace. Ain't that what James says? Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. And so I'm like, okay, praise God. So I get up one morning. And I'm fixing to go to work, and she's had a few public jobs. It cost us more money for her to work than it does for, you know. I believe the woman needs to be anointed by the Lord, led by the Lord to work. You know, I'm not against that. You know, but it just wasn't for us. And so, anyways, I go and I'm going to carry me. I think it was a brownie or something for lunch. And opened the cabinet, and there was one left. And I thought, well, but God, I mean, I'm taking that. Well, me, I mean, she's laying around here sucking up TV, and, you know, she can fix what she wants and blah, blah, blah. And I went to get another, and I could hear the scripture in here. Love your wife as Christ so loved the. I thought, not now. It's not a good time. Man, not a good time to remember that scripture. But you know what? I pulled my hand back and I thought, is this what it means? It's simple. See, Satan wants it to be major, but it's simple. I simply had to do without a brownie to be doing what the scripture says, husband, love your wife. I put her first. That is really the first time that I could ever remember putting her first in here. Maybe I had, but I mean, I never, you know, could remember of sacrificing for her. And so I left, you know, man, I felt good. I'm like, ooh, yeah, man. I mean, I just felt good. How many knows the Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit? See, the reason why I wasn't feeling good before then is because he was telling me to do that, and I wasn't. I'm grieving him. So I don't feel good in here. I go about life, you know. Well, anyways, to make a long story short, I'm talking about believe to see God's goodness. And all of a sudden, I started seeming to have this confidence that everything's going to be all right. You know, and we were still jacked up, man. I mean, I was still jacked up, my floor up. I'm just born again. I'm saved, man. That's all I am. You know, I'm still jealous. I mean, I still turn it on. I still fight and everything else, man. I mean, I'm not crucified none of this flesh. See, but your flesh don't get born again. We get born again on the inside. We get born of his spirit in here. Now we have been made right with God. We're the righteousness of God then. We're in right standing with God even though we're still jacked up. We're in right standing with God. And so, before you know it, I'm like, praise God, our marriage begin to get better. I begin to see the goodness. And you know what? For the wives, you know, it says, submit yourself to your own husband as unto the Lord. Wives should be in submission. The husband should not feel like a boss. And you own everything. And you're the only one works. That's the only reason you got anything. You're wrong. You're dead wrong. God went, that doctor went, boo, when God brought you here. You went, wah, wah, wah. And he put your mama here. And he put your daddy here. And he's give you breath in your body. He's had your heart's been beating all these years. He give you the ability to work. He give you whether you was acknowledging him or not. God reigns on the just and the unjust, the Bible says. God told me one time, he said, you can take credit for everything you do in life. He said, but you'll stand before me one day and you'll find out you were wrong. He said, without me, you can do nothing. You see, the church pays me once a month. Not enough. Y'all need to give me a raise. Yep, wrong one's gone. I'm just kidding with you. But anyways, you know, one day the Lord, he said, I want you to give your salary to your wife. And I thought, she ain't got a job. Give my salary to my wife, Lord? He said, yeah, and I want you to give her services and stuff too. And I thought about the scripture where it says that God daily loads us up with benefits. I thought, that's just for me in this house. She ain't got a job. He said, no, you're going to work and bless her. I thought, there's no way if I didn't love her like Christ so loved the church that I could do that. But I feel like you always taking from me. You know, so the for the husband, if the husband loves his wife as Christ so loved the church, well then the anointing comes on that, and then the anointing will come on the woman because the man is the head of the house. Then the anointing will come on the woman, and she will want to submit. She want to serve God that way. We want to serve God that way. I didn't do it for her. I did it for God. And then the anointing will come on and begin to break yokes all around in our marriage and everything, praise God. See, I made up my mind that I will not quit on my marriage. God hates divorce. And I found it in the Bible, and I heard a preacher, he said, we got to love what God loves, and we got to hate what God hates. And, you know, and I thought, yeah, but I was just talking to God. I think I married the devil's daughter, and, man, I think if I didn't have her, I could go to the jails and evangelize without her asking me how many women I laid hands on. Or go to church. See, that stuff is, you know, it's funny today, but it wasn't funny to me, Johnny. I mean, I'm trying to serve Jesus. I mean, I'm not even thinking about none of that. My mind, I've been transformed. I'm transformed, and that's one of the areas, man. I mean, I just wasn't having no trouble in, you know. And so that was trying, just like she was teaching us in Sunday school, that was trying to get us out of the plan of God. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. I know the thoughts. The thoughts means plans and purposes that I have. He's telling Jeremiah. He said, and when I do this, he said, I'm going to show up and you'll talk to me and I'm going to lead you. That's what he's done to me and my family. Yours too. Anybody that's been serving the Lord. But see, he wants Christians just to give in. See, to surrender to quitting in any area is surrendering to defeat. Because we sang the song for years, and I'm not going to get older and stop singing it and doing it. I shall not be moved. I come out of Psalms over there. I'm like a tree planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. Whenever I have a thought of divorce, and it comes every now and then, because she can get on my nerves. I can get on her nerves. You can get on my nerves. Sometimes God gets on my nerves because he wants me to change and repent and apologize and all of that stuff, you know, that comes along with working the salvation. This plan that God has for us is good. I mean, I'm in my 50s now, and I'm like, the best of my life is ahead of me, bless God. I'm not looking forward to retiring. I'll just be busy. I'll get more busy if I quit garage doors. Praise God, if the Lord ever lets me. It's not up to me, Johnny. God give me a job, and it ain't up to me. Man sets times, and we make plans, but God directs the heart, the Bible says. If I'm willing to listen to the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody told me the other day, he said, don't you think it's about time for you to quit? You've been in it 30 years and give it to your son. I said, what am I going to do? How many movies can I watch with my wife? Quit? That's depressing to me. Not that I don't want to spend time with my wife. I mean, good Lord. I can see how people get stiff and stuck and all that sitting around there, you know. I mean, if I sleep over 8 hours, I get up and feel like I'm depressed. My body knows what time it was this morning. Clock fell back and I was awake at the regular time. It wasn't the right time, but it was the regular time. I had an old extra hour because my body just got up, trained it. I sleep in. I try to make myself sleep in, but I got things to do. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning, Lord. This is the day that I'm expecting to see God's goodness. I'm looking for that daily loaded me up. Where's it at from yesterday? I've got a stockpile sometimes. I ain't seen nothing for a few days. So back time, baby. Well, you know what, praise the Lord? Here our marriage is, and look what we're doing together, praise the Lord. It didn't look like it back then. It didn't feel like it. And there's been times in between, praise God, where I did want to get a divorce. I get tired of her little attitude when she's having one. It's not often, but when it comes, it's not good. I mean, it makes you want to choke her. Take her to the ground, you know. How many knows that? That's why the Bible says that we don't walk by how we feel. We walk by faith and not by sight. While we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen. God's word's eternal. And God's purpose. And now you look back, I look back 30 years later and I'm like, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we didn't give in. Thank you, Lord, that Joseph didn't give in to the plans of the enemy. Thank you, Lord, in prison he hung on to faith in God. Thank you, Lord. And it brought him to the palace, God, where he was delivering, praise God. I thank God today that I'm here today ministering to you, that I hadn't quit ministry, that I wouldn't let it burn me out. I let people get to me a few times, you know, and not in all of that and wanted to quit and give up, got my eyes off of the goal. That's all I did. And then repent and realize that I've lost my vision. I've lost purpose, you know. And I'm like, is that all it is? And I mean, I'm going around lassoing everybody back to church. It ain't happened to me since. Because I thought that'll never happen to me again. Because I thought, you know, there was something spiritually wrong with me. I thought everything but the right thing, but God reveals it. God reveals to you his plan. And then God gives you the ability to carry out his plan. I refuse to give up on my kids. And that's why I'm telling you today, praise God, there is an onslaught mandate for our kids and grandkids. There always has been. But here in the last 2 or 3 years, praise God, that is why we got to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, keeping our eyes on him and the word and not going by how we feel. I thank God I didn't give up on my son when he turned 18 and moved out and went doing these little hellish things. Thinking he's going to be free and have fun. Party. Party, baby. And I thought to myself, I stood on the scriptures. I've trained him up in the Lord. I've took him to church. I've taught him how to fast. I've showed him how to pray. I've showed him at home how to forgive, how to love. When he got married and started having trouble with Beth, I sat there and I told him, I said, I've showed you how to be a father. Not just told him how, showed him how. And I didn't even really know that I was showing him how, but all I'm doing is serving God. But when he got up there, his time to fly, then I realized I've showed you how to love your mother as Christ so loved the church and put her first even when she's wrong. Put her first when she got that sloppy attitude. Beth don't ever have none. I've seen her head bob and eyes roll. My facial expressions are a little different. I look like a goat when I'm in the flesh. That's what she says. She tells me, there comes that goat out. Boy, that'll make you want to go, pop. Come on a little closer, baby. Don't be shy. I make light and fun of all of this, but we can enjoy our life while we're going through hell in the hallway, knowing that we're believing to see God's goodness, and somehow Romans 8:28 is going to play out in my marriage. It's going to play out in my finances. It's going to play out in my son's life, pray God. I held on to the scripture, and I reminded God, and I told the devil. I said, the devil, I said, you had somebody to drive up in my driveway and tell me, you know, they're going to sow their oats. You know, they're wild oaks. I said, and I told that brother, I said, that's not in my Bible. What Bible you got? I find in my Bible that God said if I would train him up in the way that he should go, even when he's old, he won't depart. I said, that's what I'm going to hang on. He said, well, you'll see. I said, no, we will see that God's word is faithful and true. His name is Jesus. And you know what? Oh, you get a party time, party time. He done some stupid stuff that I would never do. I mean, they come up with, he come up with stuff that I would like, I would, I'd kill both of them if they did that. But I minded my own business. I drove up one night and I went and preached a watch night service. It's been a long time ago. He finally saw the light. Like Mac, I saw the light. Teresa calls me and she says, "Oh, they're partying out there." I was driving back from Albertville about 1 o'clock in the morning. Preached a watch night service, me and my pastor did. And we'd been gone since about 9. Got there about 9. Well, anyway, I'm telling y'all, I'll go out there. It's going to hit the fan. All that screaming out there, partying. I said, don't go. Just leave it alone, you know. You need to go out there. I said, well, we'll see. Whatever I said, I hung up, you know. And I thought, well, Lord, you know, he's a man now. He is a man. Thinks he is. He just come out of diapers, but he thinks he's a man. And I thought, you know, and I don't like to, you know, mingle in other man's affairs. The Bible says, live a quiet, peaceable life, all that is within me. Keep my nose out of his business. That, I mean, he's my son. Well, anyway. Lord told me, he said, I'm coming down through there. He said, I want you to go out there. He said, but I don't want you to preach. And I said, okay. So I get out in my suit and pull up out of the fire. They hit all the whiskey and stuff. Pull up there. Everybody guzzling. They ain't had time to get drunk yet. You ever drink whiskey fast? And then you're sitting there and then all of a sudden you're laying on the ground. It hits you right quick. So I get out and I go over there and I'm standing by the fire. I'm just standing by the fire. How's it going? How's everybody going? Travis, he's nervous. Everybody nervous. You got a little girl sitting over here. She'd come to church here a time or two. Grandma would go to church every now and then, maybe every now and then. Might get her in church, you know, if she didn't get upset. And then if you did have her at church, she's up in everybody's business. So don't be nosy. Just don't be nosy up around here. So anyways, standing there, she looked at me and I looked over there and she said, I'm this close to getting saved. I mean, she's sitting there, she tried to get up and she had to sit back down. She done got drunk. I'm this close to getting saved. I said, well, that's good. I said, you know where church is, don't you? You know, but I left there. I shut the party down. I didn't even have to do it. The party stopped. And so then Travis made them wind everything. Good thing. They all went and everybody fell out around the toilets and stuff. They guzzling whiskey and stuff. I put a stop probably to death. They don't even know what they're doing, man. They're 18 years old, free party time. Got the fire going. Got to make my speakers go boom, boom. Oh, they're all up in all that. But you know what he'll tell you today? He's a better life. There's a better way. He's blessed. Hallelujah. He made more in one day Friday than most people make in 2 months. Serving Jesus. Serving the Lord. He didn't tithe for years. And I never said nothing about it. I don't go around wondering and checking who tithes here and who don't. For your information. So if I ever say something to you that's bringing conviction, don't think that I went and checked. I don't keep up with that, so I'm not hindered in what I minister. I just don't do it. But every now and then, Teresa throw me a little nugget. He's our son. And I'll be like, oh, well, you know, praise God. But you know what? Ever since he started tithing, I can show you his finances, how they went. God was good to him anyhow before then. But it's just going up and up and up. And you know why? You know what? I'm saying that because it's hard not to be a doer of the word and expect God's goodness. It's hard. If you're not a doer, if I'm not loving her as Christ so loved the church, it's hard for me to believe that God will show up in my marriage. I'll never get a divorce. Well, you better not say that. I'm telling you right now. And I've told her before, if you get a divorce, you're going to have to pay for it and you're going to have to fight for it. That's a bold statement, but my mind's made up. There's no quitting this. I'm not going to quit the Word. I'm not going to quit. And her destiny lies in my faithfulness, partially. Now, God will fulfill everything He's got for her if He has to go to plan B because of me. Because there's things, if I want to get rebellious and quit and don't believe in all of that, then there's nothing she can do about that other than pray and fast and believe God to work it to her good, whether she keeps me or not. You understand what I'm saying? It's not in prophecy that I do the will of God, that He's going to make me do it. Got things prophesied over me one time. My pastor, he's up there, and I just felt to go get prayed for. And I went over there, and he's praying for me, and he started prophesying to me. Prophesied some things, and then he stopped, and he looked at me. He said, and these things are conditional. He said, if you follow the Lord, He'll do them. If you don't, He can't. He said, just because the Lord is saying them, it's in conjunction with you following the Lord. See, listen, this Christianity is easy. It's not, I can't do this anymore and I can't do that. You can't have that. You've got to get rid of that mentality. Get rid of it. You can do anything you want to do, but everything's not good for you to do. You are born of the Spirit of God, sealed unto the day of redemption. The Bible says that you have been made the righteousness of God, and you can't do enough good things to make yourself more right with Him. Give me that Philippians 2, Beth. Or is it Philippians? I think it is. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring. There's a good one. I can gripe about my wife. What happened to the salvation here in me? People told me that one time, people would always say, don't judge me. The Bible says for us to work out our own salvation. I said, the Bible don't say it that way. I know it does. I read it. I said, it don't say what you mean. It don't mean what you're saying. Don't judge you. Don't. I said, that ain't got. I said, what that Paul was telling them, let the salvation that came on the inside of you be worked out in your marriage, in your business, in your ministry. Let that be worked out of you. And then he goes on right after that and said, for it is Him that works in you, just doing that work for me to want to love my wife, Christ so loved. Doing that work that makes the wife want to be obedient to the Lord and submit to their husband. Wants to make that person. Now, I'm not comfortable sitting around talking about people anymore. Did you hear what Rob did? You didn't do nothing, Rob. He said, don't tell nobody. I don't feel comfortable. I'll be like, they come to my house. Some people come to my house one time and they said, hey, well, they're, you know, that's friends and all that. You know, first, it was actually the first Hispanic that I won to Jesus. Led him to the Lord through my first sermon. And that was a miracle. Well, anyhow, they come to the house and they said, have you heard what Brother Brad done? I said, hold on. Most Christians, what? We knew it. We knew he was what? Come on, tell us. If you're that kind of Christian, you're very shallow. You're shallow. You're bringing many hurtful things to your life. Why do you need to know all this knowledge about people's faults? Why don't they go around, have you heard a good thing Brad did? Yeah, tell me, baby. I said, hey, hold up. I said, don't tell me nothing else. I said, don't say nothing else. I said, we'll go to church in the morning. We'll get Brad, and then you tell me. They didn't come to church, Johnny. No, I didn't want to gossip in front of Brad. Whether that was true or whether that not, the Bible says for me and you not to receive accusations against people. That's accusing. Somebody's accusing. They accused me of sacrificing black cats on this altar right here for real. Bluntsville. It was spread around Bluntsville. I'd walk places and they'd be going, there he is. And I'd be like, what's going on around here? So I asked one of them, I said, what's going on? What's going on? I live here. Yeah, they're saying you're sacrificing black cats on the altar over there. I said, that altar ain't never been bloody. I said, they're really saying that? Yeah. Well, wasn't Joseph accused wrongly and put in prison? And I mean, I'm thinking, oh my God, man, this gospel is going to get me put in jail. This gospel, you know, I've been in jail, and I told the devil, I said, you know what, devil, bless God, you might think you could hinder my life, but you put me in jail, bless God, through people. If you've got puppets, you put me in there, I'm going to start fasting and praying. I'm going to start preaching in jail like I used to in 100s to Jesus. Just go ahead and do it. It'd be your worst nightmare. See, when you're walking in the Lord and you're expecting God's goodness, a boldness comes up about your marriage, a boldness about your son, a boldness. I mean, Aubrey broke my heart for a long time. Didn't want to have nothing to do with Jesus, talk about Jesus, nothing. And I thought, my God, how can she be, you know, how can assigned to the nations? It was prophesied over her generation, assigned to her generations, prophesied over. And I'm thinking, man, they're missed it. They had been in the flesh, prophesying in the flesh. You know, I mean, she ain't got nothing to do with Jesus, blah, blah, blah. And brought me back a thing for me a while ago, wrote down all the scriptures, Johnny, while they was up on the screen, had them all wrote down and brought them to Papa. Yeah. Things has changed. I wouldn't turn loose of it. I wouldn't quit whittling, praise God. I wouldn't quit believing to see God's goodness. She's going to be assigned to her generation, praise God. And Aiden, he's ready. He's ready. I mean, the boy's ready in the morning. He's ready. He's praying. He's ready. I mean, anything. I mean, told all of us to pray over it. He went, tear. It was my turn to pray. I'm like, Lord, just wait till she gets done. Let's hard pray. How about it? He's crying because she went and it's his turn. But you know what? What if I sit out there at the house? Ain't no need in that. Don't go pray for her. I mean, I would go to pray for Aubrey and she would, I'd say, give me a hand. Nope, to her. I mean, it got on her nerves for me to get her hand, you know, and pray. That's where that flesh is. You want to pray in the mornings? I don't really feel. Don't go by how you feel. Get up, get down, and pray. Talk to God. Hallelujah. Talk to Him. I mean, meditate on some scriptures. You know, I'm convinced that I can't fail because of the scriptures. God told me years and years ago about Joshua. Hey, Joshua, here he is fixing to take over for Moses. I'm just reading the story, Johnny. I'm intrigued with these stories in the Bible, you know. And I'm just reading the story, you know, and I'm like, God, man, there was a bunch of people out there. And, you know, and here's Joshua, you know, and God tells him, he said, meditate on the word that Moses gave you, that I gave Moses. He said, meditate on it day and night. He said, then you'll make your way prosperous. Then you'll have good success. And the Lord spoke to me while I'm reading that. He said, that is your promise. If you'll meditate on the word concerning your marriage, meditate on the word concerning ministry, meditate on the word concerning faith, my faithfulness and my goodness and my mercy. He said, you will make your way prosperous. And I asked God, I said, God, you didn't say that you would make him prosperous. I said, you said he would make his way prosperous. He said, because I was with him. He said, and I'm with you and I'm with my people. He said, I've already made your way prosperous. I've already set out the plans for you. I've already set it out. You just got to stop not understanding how the plan can unfold and follow me. Well, following the Lord means if you're having marital trouble, don't quit. If you're having trouble with your kids rebelling, don't quit. Don't quit. Don't give in. let that salvation work out. He says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now because I took a stand with my son, and then Beth, when he's wanting to divorce Beth. I mean, he's full blown in the flesh. 3 weeks ago you loved her. What happened? Oh, you come to us. Well, I'll tell y'all right now, I'm getting married. I get 18, nobody's stopping me. I took my hat off in my living room, and I said, enjoy the ride. And I put my hat back on, left as that. Then a little later on when he starts griping because Beth this or that or whatever, you know, I took my hat off. I said, that's what I meant. Put my hat back on, get it straightened out. Well, they're going to divorce Beth.
Blah, 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 blah. Beth, 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 Beth.
And we're like, he's wrong. So get out there and tell him, well, you know what? Pray God, you got to move. Beth's getting the house. You can have your truck. And, you know, might be best she find you a job over there somewhere. I'm firing him. Beth's right. Now, a lot of people's like, you shouldn't do that. Your only son. Well, so what? Right's right and wrong's wrong, right? So we tell him she stays. I told Teresa, look, God, I told Beth, I said, now don't quit going to church. You know, I'm ministering to her. You know, hang in there. Praise God. It's hard when you're going through and you need somebody to encourage you. Don't quit on your marriage. Don't quit in your fight. You don't need to get around them. Well, I wouldn't live with her either. And so anyhow, he figured out right quick, man, hey, I better just straighten up here. You know, well, what happened? Righteousness stood up. Righteous. The Bible says the righteous give in to all that garbage. No. The righteous are bold. The one that knows what's right, they bold. That's why you see God's church in America standing up and saying, we're going to have God back in America in a bigger way. We going to have God. I see the church praying now and believing. I see eyes opened up of the Democrats that used to, the people that say they've been Democrat their whole life. I see their eyes being, I run across them, I'm out in the field, they're telling me I will never vote Democrat again. I can't believe that they did this to our country. So don't be a Democrat. I can't find denominations in the Bible. Don't be a Baptist. I'm not talking about politics. I'm talking about don't be a Methodist. Don't be a Faithway Christian Center person. Don't be a Catholic. Don't be a denomination. Be a Christian. You know, and don't be a Republican. Don't be Democrat. Don't be liberal. Let's be the ones in here that God's right. Let's just be that kind of folk. We ain't got to have a republic. I'm not a Republican. Well, I am. Well, stop it. We're about God, ain't we? We're not about a party. We're not about a people. We don't put our trust in man. Blessed is the man that trusteth in God. Now, we are going to vote. We are going to fast and pray, and I will vote this coming up next election. I will vote. And I will vote for the policies that brings this nation to its greatness. That is close. If somebody ain't quoting the Bible up there, I'm going to vote for the one that is close to the Bible as you can get. Moral principle. Freedom for the people. Them people work for us, friend. That government don't own us. That government works for us. I pay every week. Do you pay taxes? Do you pay state? And where do you think you are paying them? You are paying them. So I'm not going to pay the wrong one. I'm not going to pay somebody that's blowing my money. Right? Every one of us pay. That government ain't got no money. We are the ones that funds the government. People, not just Christians, anybody that works and files taxes, we are the ones that are paying them to do this stuff. So we're going to get them, we're going to fire them. We can't do it personally, but bless God, we got power. The Bible says everything that is named has to bow at the name of Jesus. Praise God. I remember one time, and I'm going to close with this. But believe to see God's goodness. I'm in the shower, Johnny. God, for some reason, has always quickened me and talked to me in the shower, you know. And I'm in the shower one morning, and the Lord spoke to me. And I had a guy here, and he was passing the basket around like the boys do, you know, and counting the tithes and offerings, all that stuff, and did a good job. And the Lord spoke to me that morning, and he said, let Bubba take pass the basket. That was his name. And I got excited. I'm like, whoa, glory to God. God's going to let him work in the ministry. Hallelujah. So I get to church, and I walk up to the guy that was doing it. And I said, amen, praise God. I said, God spoke to me this morning. Oh, he did, brother. He did, brother. What'd he say? I said, he wants Bubba to take up a tithe and offering. I'm telling you, you could have smacked him in the face with both hands. I mean, he got so mad, the whole church knew it. I'm standing there, and I'm like, oh, my God, what did I do? I told the Lord, I said, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. I didn't know this was going to happen. And blah, blah, blah. I mean, I'm feeling bad about it, you know. And everything. Everybody in the church knew that he was mad about that. Just that. Well, I go on and I'm seeking the Lord about that. I said, I'll go back, put him back. You know, I'm sorry, Lord. And the Lord spoke to me. The Lord said, I told you to do that. I said, yes, sir. I believed. I heard from you. He said, I told you to do that because you are believing he's with you and he's not. He said, I told you to do that so that I could reveal to you his heart. See, sometimes God does things where you can see. People say they're for you and things happen. They're not. Then things happen and they are with you in the fight and you know it. You know they're there, praise God. See, God has been revealing for nearly 3 years things that we did not know. She brought it out, preached it very well. And I mean, brought it out. There's no way that we would have knew the corruption. The media is lying. They ain't telling you nothing. She preached news to y'all that y'all ain't heard, that she has dug and sought the Lord and listening to the prophecies and lining them up with scriptures. Seek and you'll find, Bible says, don't it? Knocking the door will be open. And and the Lord is showing things not on Fox, CNN, Newsmax is all right, but they twist it too. They talking down people. I don't like that. I'm not going to listen to people do that. Talk down slap. Don't talk down on my president and when he's falling down the steps and make fun of it. That's not godly. We're supposed to be lifting that old man up. Somebody's controlling that old man. That old man can't run this country. Have you heard him? I'm not saying that to down him. That's why things are hidden in darkness. There's agenda behind the scene that is taking place that wants to control you and how much groceries and what you buy and when you buy. And it's all coming to the, if we don't put a stop to it, it's coming up. Sure, 6 News ain't going to tell you. 13 ain't going to tell you. Fox ain't going to tell you. CNN, none of them. You got Fox every now and then a good one will come on. You've got Newsmax every now and then that they bring the facts to you. Did you realize that they are saying now Hamas is making Israel look like killers through the media? God's own chosen people. Israel did not start the war. They was 1,400 innocent people through those missiles that was shot into Israel. And now we got rallying that Tricia was talking about. you know, with their green flags, and over here and over here in the United States, they are threatening the Jews. One guy was a landlord. His neighbor was renting from him. The neighbors were Jews. He went, the old 80-year-old man, because he can't stand the Jews, went and stabbed that little boy to death because the little boy was Jewish in the United States of America. And God is going to put a stop to all of that. But you know what? In the meantime, I'm going to believe to see God's goodness and God's angels watching over men. God's angels watching over Faithway Christian Center while we have in service. God's angels watching over Bluntsville School while my grandkids are in school. God's angels watching over the members of this church covering you, that no weapons formed against you will prosper. I'm active on the Word of God, lifting it up to the Lord, believing to see God's goodness, and I'm not going to be entangled too much with the affairs of this life that I can be in reality in the real realm. Hallelujah. So believe to see God's goodness. I didn't mean to keep you 15 minutes over. Praise God, but hallelujah. God is good. Hallelujah. Let's bow our head. Father, we praise you.